Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT News team.
Hello, thank you for joining us today for another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. Joining me today is Nick Szabo to discuss cruise ships and, well, where they've all gone. How are you today, Nick?
I'm just fine, thank you, Dylan.
All right, well, I suppose we'll jump into it. How would you describe a typical season of tourism on Kodiak during the height of the cruise ship time of the year?
Well, before COVID, of course, I assume that you're talking about. I'm what's called the port agent for the cruise ships, and that's a job that I guess, but maybe I ought to explain exactly what the job is. I sort of refer to myself as a glorified gopher. If you can imagine that you were a captain of a ship and you came into a port that you'd never been to before, and you didn't know how to arrange for moorage, you didn't know you had someone that was flying in to meet the ship, you didn't know where the airport was or how to get back and forth to the airport, you had a crew member who had a toothache and you needed to find a dentist for them, you needed to get water and fuel while you were in port and you didn't know who to contact for those type of things, your chef just announced that he for the dinner that night he was missing several key ingredients and you didn't know where to find them. So the port agent is the one who sort of runs around and makes sure that all those things get taken care of. So as far as what a typical cruise ship season would be, we've had anywhere from, I think our highest was about 30 or 31 ships in 2019. And then we've had as low as maybe 15 or 20 in years past. I've been doing this for about 10 years, so that's about the only span that I can talk to, actually. But it's pretty busy. There's each ship holds about 2,000 passengers or so, depending on the size of the ship. Some more, some less, and not all of them disembark. But there's a considerable number, depending on the weather. You know, sometimes we can't always have the best weather when the ships arrive, but when we do, you know, that it's actually noticeable in town because there's a lot of people on the city streets and they're engaging in a lot of activities. You know, Kodiak is world famous for the brown bear viewing, and that's a popular thing. And there's a lot of tour operators that take the passengers around to various points of interest. And a lot of them just do their own thing and walk around town and go to the museums and the wildlife center and so forth.
So how do cruises factor into the greater scheme of tourism on Kodiak? Is it like an enormous slice of the tourism sector, or is it fairly balanced between people who are flying in versus are coming by these large cruise ships?
Oh, I don't know if I'm qualified to actually know what the numbers are. It is significant. You know, as far as revenue to the city, in 2019, the city took in over $300,000 of revenue just from the cruise ships, and that's from moorage and for providing security. For people who've never been on a cruise ship, it's quite similar to boarding an aircraft. You know, you have an initial security gate you have to go through, and then when you go aboard the ship, there's a screening there, quite similar to the TSA screening where there's a X-ray machine and you take out all of your metal objects and they put them on a belt and so forth. So the city provides the outer perimeter security. So the ship pays for that. The longshoremen, you know, of course, it's required that longshoremen tie up the ship when it arrives and let it go when it departs. So if you have 30 ships a year, that's a significant portion of the longshoremen's income. the downtown gift shops and other enterprises downtown, you know, are affected by those. You have 30 ships times, say, I don't know, 1,000 people coming into town. That's 30,000 people that you wouldn't have if the cruise ships didn't arrive. There's tour operators, you know, bus tours and so forth that take people around to points of interest. There's the air taxis that fly out tourists to, for bear viewing and sightseeing. There's harbor tours and fishing charters. But, and I'm not even sure all the different activities, but I know when a cruise ship is in town, there's tons of tour buses lined up that, to take the passengers out to various activities.
So I guess here's the the big one. How did 2019 compare to 2020 for the cruise season here on Kodiak?
Well, it was like night and day. It was 2019 was our record year as far as cruise ships, and in 2020 we had zero. So, you know, so it was quite from one extreme to the other just in one year.
So how do cruises affect the local economy? I know that, of course, you know, you've got, the, as you mentioned, like 30,000 people in a year who are coming in and spending dollars, but do the cruises themselves make a major investment in the local area?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. You know, I mentioned before that the city gets the revenue, and of course I make some money on it, and the longshoremen and so forth. I'm not sure exactly what your question is.
I know in some metros that they port cruise ships or other various towns, sometimes the cruise companies themselves will make an investment in the local infrastructure necessary to port those ships. Is there any such relationship here?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that is true in a lot of other ports. I think particularly some of the southeastern ports, the cruise ships actually own a lot of the shoreside facilities, even the gift shops and those type of things, and they actually own the tours and so forth. They have their own tour buses and so forth. But no, all of the onshore activities are strictly done by locals here. There is no cruise ship investment that I'm aware of onshore.
So I guess the other big question that I'm sure people are anticipating with bated breath, do you anticipate a return of cruise ships in 2021?
Well, we're hoping so, but I guess that it's still very unknown. There is a tentative schedule already booked, and I think it's about 18 or 19 ships that are tentatively booked for 2021. But a lot of it depends on things that they have no control over. There is such a thing as the Jones Act. It's a federal law, and it requires any non-U.S. flag vessel, which most of the cruise ships are foreign flagged. And so the Jones Act requires them to include a foreign port in their itinerary. And last year, Canada closed all their ports to cruise ships. And so most of the cruise ships have some kind of a Canadian port included, where they start in maybe Victoria, or they start in Vancouver, and then they come up the Inside Passage in Southeastern, and then perhaps go to Anchorage and Seward and Kodiak and so forth as part of the cruise. Well, when Canada closes their ports, then that sort of eliminates those ships from doing that particular cruise. Also, last year, the CDC had a no sail order for all cruise ships in the country. So this COVID thing, of course, is, you know, complicated a lot of activities, and especially the cruise ship industry. So we don't know yet what Canada is going to do. We don't know how this COVID thing is going to wind down. You know, people are starting to get vaccinated now, and that's, of course, going to help. So a lot of it is beyond the cruise ship's control, because they're subject to whatever federal regulations or international requirements are put into place.
External and I suppose including and excluding the presence of cruise ships in this year, what can local business owners expect from tourism commerce in 2021?
Oh, well, I'm not sure I'm qualified to say that. I think, you know, maybe Amy Williams or someone from the Discover Kodiak would be more qualified. I'm sure there's going to be some tourism. You know, people still travel, you know, although right now they're being discouraged from traveling. Hopefully by this summer, a lot of that pressure is going to be off and people are going to be more free to travel. Even without cruise ships, you know, we have a lot of people fly in here to do bear viewing trips. That's a big thing. You know, people not only from the U.S., but from Europe and other countries as well. And of course, sports fishing, we have world-class sport fishing opportunities here. So people come to Kodiak for sport fishing and of course, hunting activities, you know, bear hunting and deer hunting and so forth. So I assume we're going to get some tourism. Is like I say, COVID is just the big question at this point. So.
Asking another question that's perhaps a little bit on the periphery of the presence of cruise ships, can local tourism businesses withstand another dud year?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, like I say, there's other people that are more qualified to make that assessment. I don't really have any information to know what the financial strength of the various cruise ship or the tourist enterprises are here. So I can't really speak to that very intelligently, I don't think.
Fair enough. Do you expect 2022 to be business as usual, even if 2021 is not the hopeful return to normalcy?
Well, I hope so. You're asking me to look into a lot of crystal balls here. So I hope so. I hope by 2022, we're going to be more back to a more normal situation. But, you know, I don't think people even expected, I think a year ago, people never even expected this COVID thing to turn out the way it has. So it's really hard to tell. I assume that if most everybody gets vaccinated and this COVID thing gets under control, that most likely 2022 will be more normal than it has this last year.
Where cruise ships are concerned, is it all about whether or not people are getting the vaccine, or is there some worry that consumers will be warier of traditional vacations following the pandemic?
Well, I don't know. I've heard mixed reports about this. You know, I talked to the people up in Anchorage that I work with, and they say that there is still some interest in going cruising. A lot of people have booked cruises already, even for 2021, hoping that they'll be available. On the other hand, there's a lot of people that are really wary of going on cruise ships. Cruise ships have gotten the reputation of being incubators for illness and so forth. So I don't know. I think the cruise ship industry is going to struggle some to get back to what it was before the COVID thing. But I think that once the COVID thing, you know, relaxes a little bit, that you know, that there are going to be some people going on cruise ships, but it's just right now it's just very difficult to make that kind of an assessment.
So you're touching a bit on another question I was interested in asking. Was there a trend towards more and more people taking cruise ships as far as vacations go, or are people trending towards, say, a different kind of vacation, particular to Kodiak, where they'd just be flying in and maybe camping out, doing some bear viewing, maybe hunting, as opposed to coming in on a boat and staying for, you know, 24 hours or so?
Well, prior to COVID, yes, there was a big acceleration in cruise ship activity. But before COVID, the cruise ship industry was, or the tourism industry in Alaska was predicting a record number of cruise ship cruise ship visits in 2020. It's just because of COVID that the thing just went into the tank. the, a lot of the cruise ship companies were building new ships. There was, you know, Alaska is a very popular place for cruises to occur in the summer. And so prior to COVID, the tourism industry was expecting a record number of cruise ships to be here in 2020.
Would it be safe to say then that if we, you know, come out of this pandemic situation, get back on the track that we were on before, if things were to continue as they had been, it would probably be pretty good for Kodiak, correct?
Well, I think so. Yeah. If we get out of this, I would think that we're probably gonna, maybe we're not gonna get back up to 30 visits right away, but I would think that once we get this COVID thing behind us, you know, 20 or 25 visits probably would not be unreasonable. But like I say, it's still very, very difficult to know for sure.
And I suppose everyone already knows a little bit about it, at least some of the answer to this question, but what about Kodiak makes it so uniquely suitable for cruise ships?
Well, it's sort of off the beaten path, and Kodiak presents itself as an authentic fishing town, a working fishing town. If you go to Ketchikan or Juneau, you know, where the cruise ships have pretty much remodeled the whole waterfront, it's just a bunch of little cutesy, you know, kiosks and so forth. And so it isn't as authentic. And Kodiak, and of course the Inside Passage in Southeastern has been cruised for many, many years. And a lot of people on cruise ships are looking for something different. And so also that the other role that Kodiak plays is cruise ships cruise 12 months out of the year. And very rarely do they quit cruising. And so after the summer season, they go to South America, they go to Europe, they go to Australia, they go to Asia. Well, usually our first cruise ship visits are in early May, and those are what are called repositioning cruises. And that's where the ship has been cruising in Asia during the winter, and they're repositioning the ship to come over to Alaska for the summer season. And so they actually book a cruise for that trip from Asia to Southeastern Alaska. And they, you know, include ports in Russia and possibly Japan. And sometimes they stop in Dutch Harbor, and then they stop in Kodiak. And if Kodiak is the first US port, then they have to clear customs here. So there's, you know, they bring down customs officers from Anchorage. And so Kodiak plays a role as far as a port of entry for the summer season, at least in the early part of the season. So usually we get two or three repositioning cruises early in the season. So a lot of people, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise, but a lot of people, but the cruise ships have a loyalty program, you know, similar to Alaska Airlines miles and that type of thing. And so a lot of people have been on 50 or 60 cruises. And so they've been to Australia, they've been to the Mediterranean, they've been to Alaska, they've been to the Caribbean, and they're always looking for a new cruise. So Kodiak sort of fits in there because it's not one of the long time traditional cruise stops. And so if something includes Kodiak, then that's quite often that's what people want to do because they haven't been to Kodiak before.
So we're attractive to some of the most veteran cruise ship goers then.
Right, yeah. And of course, like I mentioned before, Kodiak is pretty much world renowned for the bear viewing and the scenery. And I mean, it's a really national treasure here. We get sort of jaded by all these spectacular views every morning and everything. But for a lot of people, say from Phoenix or someplace, it's quite a contrast, you know.
It certainly was a big contrast for me coming from Phoenix. I would love to jump into something that I personally find very interesting is the work that you do with cruise ships. So how did you wind up doing this job?
Well, I work for Alaska Maritime Agencies. It's called Alamar, and for the cruise ship lines of Alaska. And our agencies, you know, provide this service for all the cruise ships all over the state. In addition, they also provide the similar service for tankers and freighters and so forth. So it's the idea of being a port agent is a fairly long time occupation. Like I mentioned, we represent the ship when it's in port, and anything that they need, from just get taken on water or fuel to arranging medical appointments or emergency medical care. Ship's cruise 12 months out of the year, but the same crews don't stay on 12 months out of the year. So they have cruise changes going on all the time. So we have people coming in to relieve crew members, and crew members leaving to go on leave or vacation. So anyway, it's the job of just taking care of the ship when it's in port. And so the job was held by another person, Dick Ross, and he was wanting to get out of it. And I was sort of between things at the time. And so I just applied for the job, and that's how I got the job, I guess.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you must have no shortage of stories from cruise ships ported locally in Kodiak.
Well, yeah, I've been doing it for about 10 years now. So yeah, and it's a really pretty interesting, you get to meet some very interesting people. And, I've been in the maritime industry in one form or another for over 50 years. And so it's just seemed like, a good fit for, it's really the job just, requires, a lot of local knowledge. I don't know if you want to hear any anecdotes, but.
Please.
Oh, well, there was years ago, there was a passenger who had a respiratory problem, and he had to carry supplemental oxygen, and he was running out. And this was on a Sunday morning. And so they asked me if I could locate some hospital grade oxygen for this passenger on a Sunday morning. Well, I knew that Arc and Spark Welding carried hospital grade oxygen, and I'd known the owner, Glenn Dick, for many years. And so I called him up at his home on a Sunday morning and asked him to come down and sell this guy some oxygen. He said, sure, I'll be right down. And so he came down and opened up the store and sold the guy some oxygen. So that's, some of the things that you have, and, some are quite challenging, others are fairly routine. One of the big attractions for the crew before is Walmart. They have, before I would board the ship, the first question I'd get asked by the crew was where's Walmart? How far away is Walmart? And so forth. How much does it cost to get out there? And so, after a few years, I talked to Mr. Jardine, the manager of Walmart, and I said, hey, you might want to think about, some kind of shuttle service out to Walmart. And at first he was a little skeptical, but then after he tried it, it turned out to be quite successful. So, you see people coming back to the ship, and not only crew, a lot of the passengers take advantage of it too. And you see all the blue Walmart bags, and people they buy TVs and electronics, and of course, personal items and snack food, and you see no end of things that they're buying in town here. So it certainly is a contributor to the local economy to have the cruise ship here.
Did you say TVs?
Yeah. Well, not 90 inch, necessarily, but I think each crew member has their, wants to have a TV, so that they can, the ship has a cable TV system, that's available, and so they all want to have a TV in their room to watch TV and stuff.
Well, I suppose that would make sense. Do you have any other stories of some of the incredible adventures that I've no doubt that you have experienced during these visits from these cruise ships?
Oh, well, I don't know. I didn't really come prepared to tell stories. I suppose if I thought about it. But, you know, like I say, there's just some, oh, well, I don't know. As far as the local, there's quite a contribution to the local economy. You know, sometimes the chefs will want to have fresh seafood. And so I'll take the chefs around to some of the local fish markets. And it's not unusual for me to write out a check for $3,000 or $4,000 for local seafood that the ship's chef is buying. So, you know, there's just a lot of things like that, you know, little by little, it all adds up. And I don't really have any hard figures as far as, you know, the exact amount that the cruise ship has actually spent in town, but I'm sure it's really quite significant.
So as far as your work with the cruise ships goes, what are you working on outside of the regular season for the cruise ships?
Well, I only get paid when there's a ship here. So, you know, I'm not on an annual salary. I'm just on an hourly wage. And So before the ship gets here, you know, usually I start getting emails from the ship about things that they need ahead of time. And that, of course, makes it a lot easier. Sometimes I'm, you know, the ship arrives and they say, oh, here's a list 3 pages long of things that you need, you know, and of course, that's much more difficult to deal with. If I have 2 or 3 days notice, I can go to Safeway or Cost Savers or someplace, give them the list, arrange for the delivery, and so forth. So usually I start work 2 or 3 days before the ship arrives, when I start getting emails on things that the ship may need. And then a day or two after, sometimes, you know, there are things to tie up and loose ends after the ship leaves. So, you know, I might spend, for every day that the ship is here, I might spend 3 or 4 days total, you know, dealing with the ship's business and everything.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on. This has been a very interesting discussion on cruise ships here in Kodiak. Well, this has been your regular episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. Thank you so much for joining me today, Nick.
Okay, thank you, Dylan. Have a nice day.
Take it easy.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.